Now, I don't need to remind you that coronavirus is actually not a virus. I think I told you that last week or so. It's not a disease, it's a demon. And I want you to fully understand that there's an agenda behind all these things that you are seeing going on. There's a clear, defined agenda. One of the agenda behind what you are seeing is the reduction of the world population, which is something that some people are really busy with. I'm not going to mention any names here today. You need to go and do your own research about it. But some people are really determined out there that they want to reduce the numbers on earth for some purposes that only them know what they're trying to do. So this disease that is wiping people out every day, there is a certain quota that they want to reach. Oh, yeah. And in every country has to reach a certain quota of reducing the people. If you didn't know, now you know. And they have given themselves 10 years. So this thing, the full circle is going to be 2030. Now, the question I've been asking myself ever since I've been in this research is that who will still be here in 2030? Who is going to survive 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025 as repeated attacks are going to be launched through different viruses to reduce the world population? Will you survive it? So listen carefully again to what I'm saying, that the only way for you to survive what's going on is the preaching of the word. The Bible says, I will not die, but I will live. And why? I will proclaim what God has done. The proclamation of what God has done will keep me alive, because life is from God. Psalm 30 verse 9, the Bible says, what will you gain if I die? This is David talking to God. He said, what will you gain if I die? If I sink into the grave, can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? What will heaven gain if you die? Nothing. What will heaven gain if you stay alive? Souls. Souls, people coming to God, and you are giving God a reason to keep you alive. To keep you alive for you to survive 2021. Just 2021, in fact, just January 2021, a lot of people will not survive it. Just January 2021, some people almost made it to 2021. Right in December, the virus took them. I will live and not die, and I will proclaim what God has done. And the proclamation of what God has done is the preaching. What God has done. God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross. His name is Jesus Christ. He came to save you and me. That proclamation, that gospel, what God has done is God has helped us by sending Jesus. You need to say it. That is the only thing that will cause heaven to say that, no, this one mustn't go. What will you gain if I die? If I sink into the grave? The question should be, what will God lose if you die? What will God lose? There are some people, their death, the Bible says the death of a righteous man is of great value before the Lord. If they die, heaven is losing a lot, because they play a massive role. Paul says, I am caught between the two. I want to go, but I also want to stay. And he says, it's advantageous for you that I stay. It is the work of God that makes us our stay here valuable and relevant. If you are not serving the purposes of God, you are as good as an ant. You are as good as a chicken that just died yesterday. If God is having nothing to gain from your life, your existence, then I'm promising you something. And I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you that you might be surprised that 30 might not happen. Because before, people were dying randomly. Now they are dying with, the thing is, people are bringing it. The world population must reduce. You didn't know, you see, there are many things you didn't know. You can go and research it yourself. This virus, there are many things connected to it. One of them is that we are too much on earth. We must reduce. It must reduce. So I'm starting a new series this morning for this month of January. Hallelujah. And the title of our series is Victory Over Darkness. Victory Victory Over Darkness. Victory. Victory. I say victory. Every darkness in your house, there must be victory over that darkness. Every darkness in your personal life, I decree victory in the name of Jesus. There must be victory over darkness. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, and that is the series we are running for our fasting. We are seeking victory over darkness. That's what we are after. And if you haven't joined this fast, I'm begging you, make plans to join it. And don't play with it. Oh, this is a very wrong time to play. Yeah, it's a very, very wrong time. It's a very wrong time to play with anything. Yeah. If you didn't know, my brother, the night is falling on us. Yeah. John 9 verse 4, Jesus speaking said, as long as it is day, I must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus was already prophesying a certain time that was going to arrive. And he was saying, when that time comes, no one, no matter who you are, great, small, white, black, he said, no one can work when night comes. And my statement is that the night is beginning to fall on us. My only concern is that the church, like I started saying last week, the church seems to be asleep in this night that has fallen on us. Some of the most ignorant people you can find as far as the time we are living in are concerned are in the church. They have no clue what's going on. Even as I'm talking about the world population reduction, they didn't know. Many don't know about such things. They don't know that there are many agendas that are simultaneously running at the same time. But the Bible says, I will give you pastors who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. So God has sent me to awaken us. Victory over darkness. That is what is going to happen. You see, when it becomes dark, I cannot stop darkness from all over the world. But I can stop darkness in my house by switching on all the lights that are in my house. That is how I neutralize darkness in my house. There is darkness. The night has fallen all over. But in your life, in your house, there will be light. And that is what we are talking about. No matter how this night comes, you must be able to overcome this night with the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We have entered a dark season. It's important that I make you aware. It's important that you realize why we have to pray and fast. The problem is that you are thinking that you're going to go back to what you were used to before. And that is what is worrying me a bit, even for as I'm teaching this morning, is because I'm realizing that if I came quiet, people will continue and people will be shocked when they wake up. They'll be shocked. Isaiah 60 verse 2 says, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." That shall be your story in the name of Jesus. No matter how much darkness is coming, you will have light. And what is darkness? Darkness is not this darkness you are seeing. It's not only that. The word darkness in Hebrew means ignorance. And the word light means knowledge, revelation. That's what it means. Hence, the Bible says, weeping may last for a night. In other words, as long as you are in a night season, there will be weeping. There'll be crying. But joy comes in the morning. So the joy, the presence of joy, I mean, you have received understanding. You know what to do. You have the answer. And it is that answer that brings joy to your life. Joy comes in the morning. So when light shows up, joy shows up. That's why we need the light of the Word of God to enlighten us in the times we are in right now. We cannot continue in the darkness. We cannot continue in the darkness. And I'm just going to read something small here. I want to read the words of the Lord Jesus himself before we close this morning. As you know, again, it's our communion service. So I'm praying that, I believe you have your communion elements ready. And you should know that we are having communion this morning. In your house, please prepare your communion elements as we are going through this. Hallelujah. Like I'm saying, we have entered. The night has fallen on us. Yeah. And I can also say that we have entered the end of the last days. Did you hear what I said? Okay. I'm saying that we have entered the end of the last days. The shocking reality is that many people, this thing that is coming, in fact, it has already arrived. A whole lot of us are not aware of it at all. Satan has successfully kept you busy with your phone. He first introduced a smartphone to keep you busy so that you don't have time to check the weather. So you can't see the signs. Matthew, I think 26 from verse 3, the Bible says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" Let me tell you something. These were the disciples talking to Jesus. But could I just remind you for a second that Jesus that they were talking to, his first coming had shocked the whole world. Only about 3 wise men and a couple of shepherds that God had chosen to show grace to got to know that something amazing had just arrived. the rest of the world, I mean the whole rest, everybody else, didn't know. But the signs were in the sky. The signs that the wise men used were not signs they fabricated. Those signs were in the sky, but the rest of the world was too busy to look up and see the signs that were being presented. Only three wise men noticed the signs, saw a star, and said, "This star is brighter, more than normal. It is a sign to something." So the disciples are now asking for the sign of his second coming. But the first coming, everybody missed the sign. And here we are again. Now they're asking for the sign of the second coming. And he is about to give those signs. But as you're going to read now, as I'm going to read it to you, you will realize that many of the signs are already here. That amazingly, just like the first coming of the Lord Jesus, people couldn't see the signs. I mean, imagine an entire world, only three wise men from different parts recognized that something was coming. I mean, the shepherds, if God didn't open their eyes, they were also going to know, they were never going to know. And you think your case is different, right? You think it won't happen to us. You think this sign cannot escape you. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." That has already happened. Just go on the internet. You find a whole lot of people that came and they said they are Jesus Christ. That one has already happened and you didn't know it. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Ever since you were born, I'm sure you have heard of more than one war. But for you, it was just a war that was going on. You see, you could look at the sky that same night and you just saw a star. Oh, yeah. Or you can just hear that there is war. But it doesn't ring any other bell apart from that. Yeah. He says, "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." And he says, "There will be famines and pestilences." There will be famine, pestilences. What is a pestilence? A pestilence is a disease, a viral disease, that comes and attacks people at a very great speed. It is called an epidemic. When an epidemic reaches more than a country, many countries, it moves from being an epidemic, it becomes a pandemic, which is what you are now in. A pestilence is an epidemic that is attacking a group of people at a fast speed. But once it is no more just one country that is affected, it moves from just being an epidemic, it becomes a pandemic. Jesus spoke about it. You are in it. Clearly. Then he says, "And earthquakes in various places." This you have also seen quite a lot. And he says, "All these are the beginning of sorrow." Now he spoke about famine. You're going to see that one manifest soon. It's still on process. Because as they keep shutting the economy, as they keep closing companies, as they keep bringing these curfews, what is going to result at the end of all of this closing is that people are going to lose jobs, many businesses are going to close, and famine is going to set in. That's where you are going. Yeah. And it says, "All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then it was going to change. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Again, they came to ask him, what are the signs? He's giving them the signs. After we pass through this stage we are in now, there's going to be a hatred against Christianity and Christians in particular. Oh, yeah. And he says, they will deliver you and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, the name of Jesus, the only people that bear the name of Jesus are Christians. Jesus is not lying. He's saying after the pestilence and all of this, we're going to enter into a new phase. Hence, I'm saying, if the church could only know where we are going, people will be more serious about their faith. Much more serious than that. And it says, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. You see, after a while, it's going to start happening among us. Because now everybody is going to hate the Christians, and the Christians are going to start betraying one another for the sake of favors. So this Christian will go and report that other Christian over there. So the Christian in this denomination will release files so that the other ones over there can be attacked and they can be spared. It's going to get to that. It's going to get to that. Then he says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many, not few, many, will grow cold. Every time I used to read this, I used to think, no, these things will happen maybe like in about another 200 years. And I think a whole lot of us were thinking that way. And Satan took advantage of that. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Coronavirus is not what you think it is. It is a plan that was cooked long before. And that is just being unfolded stages by stages. In fact, if you just open your eyes a little bit, you'll be afraid at what is coming. You will even be more afraid of the vaccine that is coming. And that is actually where I want to take you. Because you were thinking, this thing is far over there. It is not this close to you and me. And the question now is going to be, will you take the vaccine? We are not talking about something that's going to happen in 100 years' time. We are already in it. And if the things that I'm hearing are true, it seems like if you don't take that vaccine, you won't have a passport. You won't have an ID. You won't be trusted with any place to go because you have the disease. And we don't want people with the disease. You get arrested. Are you ready for what? Do you understand what's coming? I don't think a lot of us are even aware of what's coming. That's why we are just about our lives moving the way we want. And the night is closing in. People are not aware. People are not aware. He says the love of many will grow cold. Love of many. Now, listen to the words of Jesus. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. I always used to ask myself, if I'm saved already, why is Jesus saying I will be saved? Why is Jesus saying I will be saved again if I'm saved already? He who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, I don't want to lie to you. I don't believe that the times we are in were supposed to be here now. In all honesty, I'm thinking that my personal belief is that Satan is trying to take a chance by introducing a time that's not supposed to be here now, to prolong it, to cause more damage. That's what is going on. He himself knows that this is not the time to bring the mark. But because people are alienated so much, even the church has deviated so much, he feels, I can introduce. I mean, if you knew that I'm have to wait until 2021 before I can do something, if I can do it in 2019 or in 2020, why not? Because now I just have more time in my hands. Because until the church is raptured, Satan is not supposed to be bringing the beast and the mark. But the things that are coming are a proof to you and me that it seems like it's either we didn't read the times well and we're not taken by surprise, or somebody is trying to introduce something before the time. And it is not the first time, because even the demons asked Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? If they could feel that Jesus was coming before the time, don't you think Satan can also try to come before his time? Before his time. So Jesus says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Shall be saved. Already I'm asking myself, as this thing is beginning to close in, and we are told about a vaccine that is going to affect your DNA, change you completely. As these things are coming, and you know, I don't have the full data yet. I will give you more information as I go. But I've decided to start speaking as well, because you see, it's important that you know what's coming, that you are not taken by surprise. And you have already given yourself, and you didn't know what you're doing. He's going to use a lot of ignorance. By the time people wake up, it's too late. It's too late. The church is the only way. The church is the only way to survive these times of darkness. The church. The church. I'm begging you, my brother, stop joking with your Christianity. It's a very wrong time to do that. Where we are now, you can't joke. You have to truly and sincerely belong to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because nothing is normal again out there. So like you go and play a bit and you come back. No. You don't know what's coming. You don't understand yourself. This is time to endure. Enjoy the problems. Enjoy the difficulty. Endure the attacks. Enjoy people laughing at you. Enjoy people saying you are crazy. Enjoy people saying you have lost your mind. Enjoy people saying you are a fool. Enjoy it. For the sake of your salvation. And he ended up by saying, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Now I'm asking myself, is it why God gave me this word? Preach the word. Because this gospel shall be preached. Then the end will come. Could it be that God is having mercy on us and he said, you know, This is the only thing that is mattering now. The night is closing in. Even when you have ideas to preach the gospel, the chances of preaching it are reducing. Reducing. Don't be ignorant, people of God. Don't be ignorant. It will be very dangerous. This ignorance you want to entertain is going to be very dangerous. Be aware of the times. The God of this world is determined to take over. But as long as the church is on earth, my Bible says he has no right to take over. He can only take over when we have been raptured. So it's either Jesus is coming soon, now, or Satan is out of time and out of timing, and he must be stopped. He must be stopped. Hallelujah. Amen. Which leads us to prayer and fasting. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, in this time we are in, you and I, the first major thing that you need to do to ready your heart for whatever is coming, either the vaccine, the mark, or the Lord, is prayer. You have to really be found in prayer. Jesus asks the people, when I come, will I find faith on earth? And if you listen to what he was saying before, he was talking about prayer. The Bible says, Luke 18 verse 1, it says, he told them a parable to show them that man must always pray, never give up. And then they start talking about a widow who lost her husband. And at the end, it says, will I find faith on the earth when I return? He was talking about, will I find people who don't trust God, who are still seeking God, who are still focusing on God when I come back? Will I find faith? Will I find people who believe in God when I come back? Will I find people who pray? If you are honest with yourself, you see that prayer is being dismantled in the lives of many. Yeah. People don't want to do it. But I want to read to you one thing the Lord Jesus said. He said, watch and pray. That's Matthew 16 verse 31. I never thought I'd be using these scriptures. You know, this scripture I'm reading this day, I didn't think I would use them one day. But the time has come. Watch. Be vigilant. Open your eyes. Do some research. But as you are watching, pray. Do both. Hallelujah. Some people are just watching, but they are not praying. And some people are just praying, and they are not watching. So they don't know which time they are in. He says, watch and pray. Do both. In other words, be aware that the sons of Issachar know the times. But as you are knowing the times, know the key to avert the time or to ready yourself for the times, which is the key of prayer and fasting. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Which temptations? One of those temptations should be the temptation of to take a vaccine that is going to bring a mark on you. I repeat, I don't have the full information yet. But all I'm picking in the spirit is saying one thing. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And if I'm not watching as a pastor, I will not speak. This is the time to watch and to pray. Watch and pray. He says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is getting weak. Watch and pray. Hallelujah. That's what we are doing this whole month. Yeah. Victory over darkness. Victory over these satanic forces that are coming. And they are trying to hijack a timing. That is not their own. That is not unlike Satan. He does it all the time. Gets people life without their consent. Start making them do things they're not supposed to do. Do you think he will not also come into a timing that is not his? But as long as the church is praying, as long as the church is praying, as long as you are praying, we're going to make it very hard for him to make progress. As long as we put our feet on the ground, as long as we kneel down and we say, Jesus, come and deliver your people. Jesus, come and save us. He will not have his way. He will not have his way. But as the church has just been silently observing, as the night is closing in, and they are getting help and helpless, it's not a good place. It's not a good place. If many were watching, they would be praying now. And they're not watching, so they're not praying. Tell your neighbor, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Please wake up. Wake up. The Bible says, arise and shine. Your light has come. Your light has come. Praise God. Now, before we go any further, I would like to give somebody that is watching me right now an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Like I said earlier, this is not the right time to play jokes. The time you and I are in is a very important time. It's a time of decisions. Decisions that will affect you for all eternity. We are not joking here, my brother. This is very serious. My sister, the question I have this morning for you, I know you've been watching me for months, but are you born again? If you are born again, are you a strong Christian? Are you living for God? Or you have allowed the prince of the power of the air to steal your soul and deceive you into thinking that there's nothing like that? Oh, there's something like that. If Jesus was to return today, will you be ready? If the trumpet was to sound this morning, will you be taken? Or will you be left behind? I want to help you right now. Before we take the communion, I want you to make peace with God. I want you to have a relationship with the living God. Yeah. I want you to have victory over darkness. That victory over darkness is found in one name, the name of Jesus. If you want to accept him this morning as your personal Lord and Savior, please, my brother, this might be the only chance you got. I'm going to count up to three. You can raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Please don't be ashamed. I know some of you want to raise your hand, but you are hesitant. Don't be. Realize that this is a chance God is giving you. Please raise your hand. Even if you are alone in your room, just raise it up. God sees it. God bless you. If you are born again, but you are not living for God, and you don't realize the night is falling on us, and you are not ready, you are not ready to stand for Jesus, you see, because you've been standing against him all this while. You've been living a double life. Now you are lacking the stamina to stand for him. And you are saying, Pastor, I want to come back home. I don't want this night to find me outside the house. I want to be in the house. I want to be right in my Father's house. I don't want this night to find me outside in the dark where there is gnashing of teeth and dogs. I want to be in the house. May Brenda Chapala, I'm calling all the sons and daughters. Brother, this might be the last chance you have. Come back home. Come back home now. You don't know what is coming. I'm telling you, this thing is not a joke. And you might say, Pastor Pascal said it. I was watching him preach. He said it. Here it is now. I'm now in the line for vaccination. And I don't know what to say. I don't even have the strength to say no. What are you going to do? At least return home today. Let your soul be saved. If you are saying, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only He can take you to heaven. Only He. Right now, you are saying yes to Jesus. Raise your right hand. God is going to bless you. Thank you so much. Raise your hand. God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can take your hands down. Now, please repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Say it again. Say, forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.